This is Eric.
And this is Marie.
And you're listening to the Rock 5 Podcast.
On this episode, we feature music from These Five Down.
Amnesty International dupes musicians.
Planned Parenthood sets to open its largest U.S. clinic in Aurora, Illinois.
All that and much more on this episode of the Rock 5 Podcast.
What's in your head? All this confusion. Wishing you were dead. It isn't designed to get you caught on to. It all shines so bright and blind you. So
hey, this is Eric Whittington. I'm the Executive Director of Youth Outreach here at American Life League and the Director of Rock for Life, and I am in studio with Marie Hannenberg. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Eric?
Awesome. Your title?
I am the researcher here in the staff department here at American Life League.
Research extraordinaire.
That's right.
What were we just listening to?
It Ain't Right by These Five Down.
Where are they from?
State of Michigan.
And where are you from?
Michigan.
So, like, you know these guys?
Hey, they're great.
You guys got any questions, comments, suggestions? Call us up at 866-552-3368 or email us at podcast@rockforlife.org and make sure to check out the website rockforlife.org. We published a statement back in June about Amnesty International released a CD, a two-disc CD, and it was to raise awareness and funds for Amnesty International and their support for, you know, just raising awareness about the atrocities happening in Darfur. But Amnesty International recently have come out in support of abortion. But recently, the London Sun-Times published a story, and it was titled Pro-Life Rockers Clash with Amnesty. And the writers actually make statements that Christina Aguilera and Avril Lavigne made statements against abortion. They happen to be contributors to the CD compilation. And I just wanted to use this opportunity to note that, for one, Christina Aguilera was a supporter and an endorser of the March for Women's Lives, which was a pro-abortion march rally back in D.C. So I would hardly come to the conclusion that she's pro-life.
Right. And I'm curious of where this author of this article came up with this conclusion that she would be pro-life.
It says she is, one, a devout American Catholic, which if you are Catholic, you should be pro-life. But it goes on to say that she is reportedly expecting her first child and has taken part in a television show in which she interviewed a teenager who had kept her baby rather than have an abortion. And I guess because of that, they claim that she's pro-life.
Well, actually, if you are a practicing Catholic, that is part of the Catholic Church teachings, is that you would be pro-life and carrying out the traditions of the church and teachings of the church. In this case, sounds like she's not.
Exactly. Now, for Avril Lavigne, because she is French-Canadian and from a tight-knit Christian family, which is awesome, but because someone on YouTube put together a pro-life video and used one of her songs called Keep Holding On, the writer again came to the conclusion that Avril is pro-life. Now, she may be not, but that in and of itself does not prove someone's pro-life position.
Right, exactly. And then they had an aide to Lavigne. She was unavailable to comment on this issue, and this aide to Lavigne said, "I don't think she would want to comment on this, but what has abortion to do with amnesty? It's for a lot of different things, such as prisoners of conscience and human rights." Well, I'd like to question the whole human rights issue with this organization of Amnesty International. Seems a little hypocritical, don't you think, with them claiming to be these human rights activists, yet they're supporting the murder of the most innocent.
Right, exactly. And the article concludes saying that Amnesty's position now is not for abortion to be a universal right, but for it to be decriminalized and for access to abortion to be permitted within its defined circumstances. For abortion to be permitted in certain circumstances is still pro-abortion because you are allowing and supporting the killing of innocent human persons before they are born.
And they're also, if you don't mind me adding, that they're losing a lot of support. In fact, Michael Evans, a Catholic bishop of East Anglia, he resigned after working with Amnesty International for 31 years. And I really, really like his quote where he stated that among all human rights, the right to life is fundamental.
But doesn't that fly in the face of this statement by Whitney Brown, Amnesty's director of policy, who said there had been overwhelming support for the policy change at the meeting in Mexico City. So it doesn't sound like overwhelming support when a lot of leaders have left Amnesty International.
Exactly.
On Friday, I noticed an op-ed by Christina Page, whose email is christina@prochoicemovement.com, and the author of How the Pro-Choice Movement Saved America. Wow. Now, I got to comment on this. How can you save America when you kill one-third of our generation?
That's a really good question.
So we'll just leave it at that. If anyone would like to answer that question, please call our voicemail, email us, and let us know what your answer is to that. Okay, in this op-ed piece there, which the title is The Quiet Campaign Against Birth Control, she makes a statement. It's in the third paragraph. Now, I mean, the whole article is about the pro-life movement wanting to ban contraception. What she fails to see is that all forms of chemical contraception can cause abortion. Now, in the third paragraph, she makes a statement, basically this: we, the pro-life movement, would like you to believe that despite evidence to the contrary, that the birth control pill prevents that fertilized egg from implanting in the womb. Okay, serious problem here is that fertilized eggs don't implant.
Right.
At the moment of fertilization, a new human being has been created in its zygote stage of life. The human being that implants in the uterus is in its his or her embryonic stage of life. So, you know, people aren't fertilized eggs. It's very dehumanizing, and she should know better than that. Another false information is the fact that it is well known that the birth control pill can cause abortion because it's stated in the physician's desk reference for not only the birth control pill but all forms of chemical contraception. On a medical link, which is thepill.com, which is not biased or, you know, a pro-life website, it states the birth control pill, quote, changes the lining of the uterus to reduce the likelihood of implantation.
And you can also check out the package insert, and it has information right there that it can prevent implantation.
Right. So basic science, basic information opposed to rhetoric and dehumanizing terms. From Christina Page, again, author of How the Pro-Choice Movement Saved America, christina@prochoicemovement.com. Also spokeswoman for birthcontrolwatch.org. Let her know what you think of this misinformation that
right.
She's sending out.
Another thing that I found that she wrote there was the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists defines pregnancy as starting at implantation, the first moment a pregnancy can be known. And right here in front of me, I have a copy of the actual document that in 1965, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists defined conception as implantation in the womb. They defined pregnancy as beginning at conception, and they defined fertilization as the combination of sperm and egg. So basically what happened was that they came out with these new definitions of these terms, and this was part of their terminology bulletin number 1 in 1965. So because of that, there were a number of members that resigned because there was no scientific reason to redefine the definitions of conception and pregnancy. And I'd like to also add that life does begin at fertilization because there is nothing else that is added to make this egg and sperm that has now united as a human being. What else after that moment does it actually make it a human being? You don't add anything else to that equation. It's the sperm and the egg meeting at fertilization. But they're defining conception as implantation in the womb, and then pregnancy beginning at conception. So they made these terms and all this information so that they can come out with these contraceptive pills and all this other things that do actually cause abortions. And they're saying, oh, well, you know, life doesn't begin then.
And that way you can say by these terms that abortion doesn't end a pregnancy,
right?
You know, according
right.
to these definitions,
right.
but according to real life definitions, that pregnancy begins at fertilization, then of course it can cause an abortion. You don't necessarily are able to detect cancer right away, but that doesn't mean you don't have cancer.
Right, right.
Touché.
On the other side of the break, right now it's more of These Five Down, our featured band of this episode with Deception, right here in the Rock for Life podcast.
I see your stature, it's such an eye catcher. The game you plot is so well planned. Your lure is fascination, and out the best temptation. Dressed to kill for the ruin of man. You won't have me again. I won't be fooled by your deception. Till my spirit kicks in, my soul is your goal, mine defeats your intent. But I'll be on guard, I will have no regret.
All right, that was Deception by These Five Down, and this is the Rock for Life podcast, episode 009. You can call us at 866-552-3368 with your questions, comments, suggestions, and we may just air those. You can also email us at podcast@rockforlife.org, and again, we may reply to those emails on this podcast.
So, 009, Eric, where have we been? Why haven't we had a podcast in a while?
Well, you know, you don't have to like rub it in or anything, but I was a little busy, you know. No, I was out, you know, summer's a big time for us. We hit up a lot of Christian festivals, a lot of events. I went to Soul Fest in New Hampshire, and I went to Kingdom Bound in New York. I went to Cornerstone in Illinois. I went to Tom Fest and the Epiphany in the Park event in Washington State. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I was...
Rock for Life's been traveling around this summer. That's great.
And that's just me.
Really?
Phil is still out hitting the road and attending tons of events. And he'll be in soon, so we might have him on. At Kingdom Bound, I had this really cool conversation. Well, it was very interesting. Let me put it that way. It's interesting and cool, too. But basically, you know, one thing that we definitely try to do at our tables is educate and raise awareness, but also specifically about Planned Parenthood and the evils of Planned Parenthood. Well, this older lady stopped by, and she started telling us about how good Planned Parenthood is and they helped her out when she was younger, and she didn't really go into details about how they helped her out. She basically said that, "I wish people could see the good in Planned Parenthood and what they do." And I proceeded to inform her of just some basic facts about Planned Parenthood, that they abort over 5,000 babies a week in the United States. They are the largest abortion chain in America. They cover up for rapists and child predators. They push a philosophy of sexual immorality on young people, and that they receive over $305 million a year of U.S. taxpayer money to do all this and much more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she didn't seem convinced. She kept citing the fact that Planned Parenthood helped her out when she was young, and that's a good thing. She would give her daughter information about Planned Parenthood and have her hand out referral cards to all of her friends. You know, so that was a little disturbing.
Yeah.
And so I went to delve a little deeper into Planned Parenthood philosophy and start to give some specific cases of, you know, protecting rapists and child predators.
Mm-hmm.
And at about this time, her daughter came up and, you know, she seemed pretty excited about the booth and whatnot.
Great.
And so I'm starting to tell these stories, and she would finish my sentences. Like, she knew, like, everything, you know.
Woman's actual daughter.
Yes.
Could finish your sentences about Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
Wow.
She was very informed. And so that was really cool. Come to find out, she's a recent college grad, still a virgin, still, remaining pure and chaste. And
woohoo, rock on.
Rock on, absolutely. And her mom seemed, you know, impressed that she knew all this information, but then kind of like, what's going on? She never really known that her daughter knew this information so much. And so I asked her what she did with, you know, all this Planned Parenthood information, all these referral cards. And come to find out, she said, "Well, I tossed them, and I just went and got information about the local pregnancy help centers, and I'd hand out information about chastity to
wow.
all my friends." And, you know, and her mom didn't know that. So this whole time, she thought she was giving out Planned Parenthood information to her daughter and all of her friends, but in reality, her daughter was learning about Planned Parenthood and handing out the opposite, the
wow,
truth.
Wow, good for her.
Yeah. And mom seemed a little taken aback, but then kind of proud that her daughter was a little rebellious, you know. You could tell her mom knew that that was for the good, you know.
Yeah. Did you catch her name, the daughter's name at all?
She filled out a Rock Life info card,
okay.
You know, so I got her information and, you know.
Well, if she's listening now, way to go and keep up the awesome work.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, it's encouragement for, you know, even if you're young and your parents are pressuring sex ed information on you, that you can still remain pure and chaste. You don't have to take the information. You don't have to hand it out to your friends. Go to our website, get information there, or check out your local pregnancy help center and just hand out the correct information to your friends.
Right, and there's a lot of things that you can do on a college campus. I went to a small college, but it's a Catholic liberal college, and in Michigan, and that's where I'm from, and I attended one of these days. It was called Clubs and Organizations Day, and all these different clubs and organizations were out presenting, and they're at tables and things like that. And I noticed there was no pro-life club represented. And I knew that there was a Students for Life club on our campus. And I was like, what is going on? Where is it? And I found out who the staff director, advisor for the group was. And I talked to her and she said, yeah, our president, she stepped down. We have nobody as a student helping run it. And so I said, hey, I'll do it. And so I helped start that group up again. And we did so many different things. We had a poster abstinence campaign and we put up crosses on our campus to represent the number of abortions. We brought in speakers. There's just so many things that you can do while at college or even at your high school that just can bring more awareness and be a voice for the voiceless. Going to college was actually where I started seeing a lot of where my passion was. I really wanted to get more involved with, you know, what's this about being pro-life? I've been raised in this pro-life family. I vote for pro-life people. Could I explain what an actual abortion was? Could I do this? Could I do that? I had to educate myself more. I wasn't as educated as I should have been. And so I worked hard on doing that. When I was teaching, you know, that came out, and I had the advantage of working in a Catholic school, so I could teach the Catholic teachings on abortion and things like that, and get my students really just fired up and passionate about it themselves, which was so beautiful and awesome to see and be a part of. But I felt that God was calling me for something else to do, and I looked into coming out in Virginia, working and being a part of American Life League, and here I am.
You know, my kids, by the way, for the listeners, I have four. They're ages 6 to 1. And one of the common movies that is played in my house is the Robots movie. And there's this one robot says, see a need, fill a need. Here you are, you're in college. There's this display of booths with various causes, and there's nothing about abortion and raising awareness. Mm-hmm. So you jump in and you find out that there's a need. There needs to be information out here. There needs to be a booth. So you jump in there and you do it. And I think that is a great testimony for any listeners out there in college, in high school, wherever. Well, very cool. Well, it's nice to have you. And you keep pointing at your papers. What are you pointing at?
That's right. I'm pointing at Planned Parenthood. I think we need to touch a little bit more on what's happening in Aurora, Illinois.
Okay.
Did you hear about that? Well, we did mention it at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
What's happening there is just this past Saturday, there was a protest, pro-life people, peaceful protest out there in front of this 20,000 square feet facility, abortion killing center.
That's pretty large.
Going on, yeah, right there in Aurora, Illinois. And the people in the community do not want it there. The interesting thing about this particular clinic is that it's the formation of it being there, the history of it, okay? So back a year ago, Planned Parenthood formed a limited partnership named Gemini Health Services. So they went undercover.
Sounds so nice, Gemini.
They went undercover. They did not use their official name, Planned Parenthood. They used Gemini Health Services.
Why would they want to do that?
Because they know that people don't want them there. So they used this name, and then they purchased the land, received all the permits using that name. In fact, there was a sign in front of this clinic that had future home of Gemini Health Services. So there was no public indication that this was actually a Planned Parenthood clinic. But what actually happened, how the word got out, was one of the construction workers that was working on this building was he got a little concerned when he noticed that this bulletproof glass was being installed and that a room was referred to as a recovery room. So what happened was this worker then told his pastor, who the pastor then notified local pro-lifers, and then the word spread to newspaper reporters, who then contacted Planned Parenthood. And then finally, Planned Parenthood admitted that that was going to be, yes, a Planned Parenthood facility.
So they're being sneaky. They're not telling the truth.
Yeah, yeah. And this is not the only time. They've done that in Portland, Oregon, where they went undercover with the name Beach Street Partners to buy the property. And also, we just are learning about Denver, Colorado, that they also secretly bought land for this abortion facility that they're going to be building and regional headquarters. This one in Denver, Colorado, which is scheduled to open in August 2008, is planned to be a 50,000 square feet.
Holy cow, that's larger
building
than John Edwards' house.
Yeah. And with the word getting out, again, someone confronted them. The public, a reporter asked Planned Parenthood, and then Planned Parenthood finally admitted it. So we've got these examples of Planned Parenthood being deceptive and being dishonest because they know that we don't want them there.
Well, and they're going to know, and they're going to find out. Now, speaking of Portland, I was there recently, and if you're listening to the enhanced version of the podcast, you'll see a wonderful picture of myself. I'm out with a sign at the intersection where they are building a huge facility in the poorest neighborhood of Portland, Oregon, right next to the Islamic Prayer Center. And I got to meet the director there. His name is Assad, and that means friend.
Oh, yeah, great.
Very kind. So that was very nice. And he came out and held a sign with us, and that was very beautiful. So if you're in the Portland, Denver, or Aurora areas, let's get out to the sites and be praying for an end to abortion and praying for Planned Parenthood to get out of our communities. Now, speaking of the Aurora, there's a Youth for Truth rally this Saturday, September 1st from 1 to 3 p.m., and that's outside the new facility. And to find out more information about that, go to familiesagainstplannedparenthood.org. And also some other events coming up while we're speaking of events.
Right, we can mention the 40-day prayer vigil. That's something that anyone out there can just go and participate in. 40 yes. Days for Life organization is putting this on. And I don't remember what year it is. They've been doing this for a while.
They've been doing it for several years. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a few here, a few there.
And it's been growing, isn't it?
Yes, at each event, each location that they do it, babies' lives have been saved. Mothers have been spared the trauma associated with abortion from September 26th through November 4th. 40 days of prayer and fasting for an end to abortion. There'll be 24/7 vigils at abortion facilities. I would go to 40 Days for Life. That's 40daysforlife.com. Find out if there's an event in your area, and if there's not, if you can, start one. And also, October 1st is the American Life League's Pro-Life Memorial Day. And again, if you're watching the enhanced version, you'll see a photo of the T-shirt that we had printed for this. The shirt's only $6.95, but basically for this day, we're asking that people, you know, again, pray, memorialize the victims of abortion. There's been over 48 million surgical abortions alone, so many victims to memorialize. An awesome day to pray for the end of abortion. You can pray at the abortion mills. Pray at the pole in the morning before school. You can set up Cemetery of the Innocents, whatever you can do to just raise awareness and memorialize the victims of abortion. And finally, October 7th is the annual National Life Chain. And this is a day where, again, groups all across the country are going to pray and hold signs for 1 hour, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., their local time. And they're just asking people, again, to go out and pray, hold signs. If you go to the website, which is nationallifechain.org, you can go there and find out if there's a life chain in your area. All of these are amazing events. Anytime that we get out there to pray, things are going to happen. Anytime that we can go out there and raise awareness, things are going to happen. Babies' lives are going to be saved. Mothers' lives are going to be spared the trauma associated with abortion. And just people who think that abortion is okay, when they go out there and see people praying and holding signs, you know, minds, hearts and minds change as well.
That's right. So be open and trust that you can make a difference. You can help save lives. And it starts right now, today.
All right. Thanks for tuning into the Rock for Life podcast, episode 009. Again, you can reach us via email, podcast@rockforlife.org. Voicemail, which is 866-552-3368, and check us out on the web, rockforlife.org.
Remember, the Rock for Life podcast is made available because of the generous donations by you, our listeners. Rock for Life is a project of American Life League, pro-life without exceptions, without compromise. Silence is making it rational.